Why are you looking all suspicious?
Welcome back. We missed you. Me, myself, and I talking to myself with the podcast. I literally was talking to myself. Why am I looking suspicious? I always look suspicious.
I was going to show you my boxers, but I realized that I'm too short to show you my boxers.
Like the ones you have on?
Yeah, because we don't wear pants on this podcast. But like, I'm wearing pants right now
and I hate it.
You see how I'm all goth?
Yeah.
Look at my boxers. They're bright pink and pineapple-y.
You're a pineapple goth.
Pineapple goth.
Ridiculous. All right, should we start this
business? Let's start this bitch.
There are so many things out there.
So many things.
What are we going to do about this, Dana?
The only thing we can do, Breezy, start a podcast.
Why are we doing this again? Welcome back, everyone, to So Many Things Podcast.
If you're new here, or if you've been here for a little while and still totally confused, this podcast is about so many things. That's about it.
So far, we morph our conversation around the latest TV episodes that we watch each week.
And this season, we've moved on to Married at First Sight.
And today, we're discussing episode 3, The Honeymoons.
Oh boy. All right, let's get into this shit.
Get right into it, because I am on a tangent already. So, as we've said, way too much was revealed in the intro.
Yeah.
I mean, cheese and crackers, for the love of everything, Lifetime. Let us have a little suspense.
I know. Did you not learn anything from any suspenseful thriller?
Apparently not.
Maybe they just don't watch thrillers.
Ah, there it is.
Because it's a thriller.
So we open on the Westin Hotel. Vaughn and Monet are kind of just booking it for the bridal suite. And then all of a sudden it just says the wedding night.
Yeah, because now the wedding's over and they're going to the hotel rooms, the complimented hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Not for sure. I'm assuming. It's Lifetime. They paid for things.
I'm sorry. Did you say complimented hotel rooms?
I meant complimented.
Are we complimenting the... No. We're complimenting the drapery?
No, we're complimenting all the wedding dress and the dapper tux and suits that we've seen.
I see. I get it. Now, you were hoping I would just slide right over that one.
No, I'm glad you called me out. Bitch, call me out.
If we don't call each other out, what are we doing here? All right. So Dr. Logan, here's the thing, talking heads, people. Like, literally, I think Dr. Logan is the only one I quoted. But Dr. Logan, the sexologist, talks about how the wedding night is the first time these two will be alone together. And I'm sitting there like, oh, shit.
That's right. Because they met at the altar with everybody present. They went to the reception with everybody present. Mm-hmm. They had dinner. They did their dance. Everything was in front of everybody. And now...
Even when they were in the hallway alone, they probably had cameramen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, there's still cameramen going on into the bedrooms, but then they have a camera in bedroom that they would manually use.
Once the cameramen are gone.
Once the cameramen are gone.
We hope. Dun, dun, dun.
No, they had to.
We didn't see any surveillance cameras, so I was just like, I was waiting for surveillance cam footage. I'd be like, oh, this is taking a turn.
At least they didn't stay in an Airbnb. We would have had that security footage.
God. Airbnb's going downhill fast.
Dude, people. I've never stayed in one. Never will.
No, not now. Google Airbnb, people. The news on that shit is crazy.
Oh, my God. There are so many videos on YouTube and TikTok about how to find those hidden cameras because they are everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's
so
bad.
Fucking creepy.
It's real bad. So Monet tells Vaughn she already has a honey-do list for him.
Yeah, she's been literally waiting for a man to come by and fix shit in her house.
Yeah, he seems excited to fix things for her.
I think he was saying that to get brownie points.
Again, yeah. Like, there's such a thing as saying too many right things. I know that sounds suspicious and everyone's going to be like, no, he's a genuinely nice guy. No. There is a thing such a thing as saying too many things correctly, because then you kind of, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a man out there who literally says that shit, but it's like, I just, when you get all the answers right, and you know, when you get all the answers right on a test, teachers think you cheat.
Yes.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. There is always something wrong with somebody who puts that face on to say the right things at the right time, mm-hmm. every single time. Mm-hmm. They're not true. They're not real.
Nope. It's, you just know off. The canned answers. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yep. Okay. So we flash over to Doug and Jamie. Doug admits he and Jamie got off to not a great start, but he hopes tonight will give them a chance. That's it. Because then we move over to Jason and Courtney. And Jason says they need to do things right. And they're in the hallway and he fireman lifts her onto his shoulder and he hits her head on the door. Not hard. It looks a barely tap, but you know, she's like, ah!
She wasn't expecting that.
No. And then they go over the threshold and then they collapse on the couch together.
They're the only ones to do that too.
Yes. Because we'll get there. But then Dr. Logan head comes back in, the sexologist, and says it would be completely natural for the couples not to have sex because they met each other just now, but they might get caught up in the moment. I'm really hoping that the microphone didn't pick up my chair squeak.
Oh, it did, because it picked up on my end.
Damn it. Here's what happened, people. I had a perfectly good office chair. And by perfectly good, I mean old AF, falling apart. Literally don't know what's going to happen. And then it just kind of started one day. I sat on it and it just got lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And it wouldn't go back up. Aww. So now I'm sitting in a crappy one that goes.
Everyone, Breezy's blowing it out her ass. Good.
Yeah. No, it's me farting. I just fart a lot.
Sorry, I had to. It was a Kristen moment.
No, literally.
I needed to.
Literally. That's how I'm like, oh, shit. Everyone's going to think I'm farting all the time.
No, and if you're silent and you're not speaking, I'll be able to, like, take them out from your recording.
I was definitely talking
you
during
that
one.
You were this one, yes. But if you're not and it squeaks, I could take that out fine.
It's my own fault for moving.
It's your own fault for living. Oh my God.
Oh, why are you breathing? Okay. The announcer is the one who says that 62% of couples don't have sex on the wedding night. That's where I got that statistic from this episode. Okay.
And that's because everyone nowadays getting married already know each other and have dated for a while.
Yeah. So I confused myself with my notes. I wrote Monet and Jamie and I'm like, why are those two together? No, I just wrote Monet and Jamie didn't get carried across the threshold.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, they didn't. Jamie doesn't want to be touched and Monet says, that's not the threshold. This is a hotel room.
Yeah, that's a hotel room. Yeah. Jamie's starting to get a little more comfortable. Nothing crazy. Just like she's looking at him more and she's not holding the bouquet quite as tight.
At this point, she changes out of her dress and she gets in comfortable clothes.
Comfy cozies, yeah.
And they talked all night. They got to know each other. And he presents her his little scrapbook of family members that all was there at the wedding.
Yeah, she likes it.
Oh, it was the... Oh, so sweet.
Yeah, it was. We cut back to Courtney and Jason jumping on the bed.
Wouldn't you?
Then we cut back to Monet and Vaughn. Guys, there's so many cuts. We cut back to Monet and Vaughn looking around the hotel room. Then we cut back to Doug and Jamie looking at the scrapbook. Guys, the cutting is just insane. Like, literally, I think that's what makes this thing go by so fast.
Like, yeah, because our brains can maybe fill in what could have happened or whatever just based on that. Yeah. I mean, in the small little clip between Vaughn and Monet, they're looking around the bedroom. There's rose petals on the bed and on the floor. Mm-hmm. There's rose petals in the tub. And there's a slight comment on the fact that Vaughn likes the fact that the shower is see-through.
Yeah, they tried to gloss over it, like, super quick. And I'm like, ha!
Oh, we caught that.
There's the real Vaughn. There he is.
We're going to see more. If those clips are true, oh my God.
It's going to get bad, you guys. Okay. Doug is excited about the wedding night, but he's not expecting sex. I think he wants it. I mean,
any
it's not,
man would want it.
Yeah. That didn't really bother me. It's like being hopefully optimistic, like, oh, it could happen, you know, but it's not like he's pressuring her at all.
No, it's like trying to have sex on the first date. Who does that?
Everyone.
You know, it's just a thing.
Really?
What did he just say?
He's just trying to make it in the podcast. He's jealous.
That baby back bitch.
I did tell him that his laugh outburst is probably going to make it into the podcast.
All right, could happen. Could happen. Baby back bitch. All right. So, Jamie jokes about Doug sleeping on the couch. And I was like, excuse me.
She didn't joke.
Why the hell did you get
married?
She was. Yeah. And I'm just like, why did you get married?
Mm-hmm.
At this moment in time, like, that, we had all this drama before episode one, episode two. And I'm like, why are you here? Did you really want to get married? What's happening? I don't know.
I think that her expectations were a lot more higher than they needed to be.
Yeah.
Because she put all of her choices in these experts' hands. You know, she waived the right to choose her partner by signing up for this experiment. She knew what she was getting into.
She
had such a fairy tale up in that head that when she didn't get it, she just shut down.
Yeah. They do compromise.
They do.
And say they sleep facing opposite ways.
And of course, Doug tried spooning. He did admit he's a spooner.
He did. He did try. Not like full on, like, ah, just like he, like, scooched a little closer. And she's like, you're breaking the rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he tried. She's just very closed off physically. Mm. Yeah. She's very closed off physically. And, you know.
I mean, wouldn't you be, if you just met the person you married at the altar and then you're forced to spend the night with him?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think.
But then again, I never would.
Right. Yeah. This is something.
It's kind of hard.
It would be, yes. But if you do put yourself in that situation, just imagine for a minute putting yourself in that situation, taking a chance, meeting this guy.
Making mistakes.
And having to spend
Get
the first night
messy.
With him. Like, literally, your first date. You meet the guy, you marry the guy, you have a party with the guy, and then you're spending the night with the guy all in one day.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Which brings us to the morning after, because Dr. Joe... The hell's Dr. Joe?
He's a psychologist.
Oh, Dr. Joe's the psychologist. I was like, I had no idea who he was. Another talking head. He says, you know, the pressure might get to them, but then, like, that's all he says. So we see a few of the clips of them recording each other talking and confessing, and then they start getting ready for the day. Jamie is very clear, like, they're getting ready, like, brushing their teeth and doing makeup and, like, getting ready for the day. And Jamie makes it very clear that he has his own side of the sink.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh,
well,
okay.
And then she takes a swig of his, like, his mouthwash. I
she
mean,
does
she asked if she could, but she did that. And
it's like she wants to try. You can tell. It's just she's so, like, anxiety-ridden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird. She wants – I can tell all at this moment, I'm like – wait a minute. Like, she wants to be part of a couple. She does. It's just something is just so crazy about the situation. She couldn't even fathom.
She did point out that the ring on her finger also meant this is the wrong finger. She also pointed out that
shows
the ring on her finger
know.
Means that she calls all the shots.
That's true. That was funny. I was like, ha ha, she made it funny. Cool. Monet and Vaughn consummated their marriage.
Yeah, they did. They got that out of the way real quick.
We know Jamie and Doug didn't.
Oh,
but
no.
Jason and Courtney, we At this point, I was like, did they? Didn't they? Did they? Didn't they? And we find out later they didn't.
They did not.
This is where we find out where their honeymoons are. So Courtney and Jason are having breakfast in their room and they find out they're going to the Poconos. Courtney had no idea where this was. I had no idea where this was. Apparently it's cold.
Yeah, I've heard of the Poconos, but like I never got curious enough to figure out where the fuck that is.
To be honest, every time I think about the Poconos, I'm just like, Poconos.
Poconos. Poconos. Okay.
Apparently it's cold.
I don't even know if I spelled that right. I did not.
Poconos.
Poconos Mountains. Delaware Water Gap East. So Wyoming. Wait, Wyoming Valley? What?
Huh?
Oh, no. Geographical. It's cultural region located in northeastern Pennsylvania. That's real close to New York.
Huh. All right.
They would be the closest then.
That's true. That's true. That makes sense. Okay, that makes more sense. I didn't think about this. No, they're all in New York, aren't they?
Where's St. Thomas? Sorry.
St. Thomas is in the middle of the ocean.
Because that is a kind of like a... Yeah, that's the Virgin Islands. Oh, my God. So, okay. My assumption is the wedding party paid for the honeymoon. Because it said, love the wedding party.
Oh. That would make sense. So, considering the wealth of each family, like if you think about it, each trip makes sense now. Because Jason and Courtney's friends would have the least amount of money. So the Poconos would be easier.
And that's closest and it's, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So we go to Jamie and Doug. They're also having breakfast in their room. And they are opening wedding cards.
Mm-hmm.
And a condom is in one.
That was from his friends.
And Jamie's like, that's not going to happen. And then, yeah, they find out they're going to St. Thomas.
St. Thomas is in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, I didn't even bother to check, but.
Oh, I got it up right now.
That makes sense. Here's my thing. Monet and Vaughn are having an awkward brunch with the family. Okay, I have a theory. Monet seems to be fine with her husband whenever they're alone. Like, not okay, but she seems less nervous. That's what I'm going for.
There you go.
She seems less nervous when they're on their own. And then in front of the family, it is like a different Monet.
It is. She is back to her rigid, very awkward self.
Because awkward, scared person.
She can't. Yeah. It's like she can't be herself in front of her family, and in front of him.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
You shouldn't be able to be yourself in front of everybody that you love.
Yeah. So they find out they're going to Puerto Rico. This is when one of the experts says, honey equals sweet. Moon equals a period of time. And I was like, oh, fucking shit. I am 33 years old and I had no idea. Like, it never in my brain was like, honeymoon. So Doug has never traveled anywhere. And he just says he's happy to be next to his wife.
Aww. That's cute. So I think what he's going to do is focus on his wife so he's not going to show off how much of a nervous flyer he is because he's never flown anywhere. And he's going to the Virgin Islands, so you know that's a long way away.
It's a bit of a ways, yeah. And then, but what gets me is immediately Jamie says, don't say the W word.
Yeah, don't call her wife just yet.
What? This whole thing makes no sense with them. I don't know. She still feels awkward about the whole thing. She would be more comfortable. Like, basically, they get to the hotel room, beautiful resort, and she said she would be more comfortable if they had separate beds.
Oh, God. She's just laying it down. He's still a very big stranger to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm not backing her up, but, like, I can...
I get it.
I get it. It's gettable, for sure. But it's like... Dude, he's your husband.
Married.
You got married. Okay. You signed up for this. You knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
You're just mad at Lifetime at this point.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where I found out something that I was not expecting at all.
Uh-oh.
Jamie goes into the other room to change. Doug takes off his shirt and he's ripped AF.
Dude, him walking on the beach?
Oh, ooh. God, we'll get there. I was just like... Where did this come from? I'm waiting for dad bod, which I still love. I'm like, he's going to have a cute little dad bod. And then all of a sudden he's ripped and I'm like.
Dude works out.
I, I, I literally had to stop it because I'm like, Lifetime, honey, sweetie, baby. What the hell? Y'all are making him out to be like this uggo, which he's not.
No, he's not. He's
perfectly good looking. And then you pull a freaking ripped body out of a side pocket?
Yeah, dude, I wasn't really expecting that either.
Because he wears shirts that are too big for him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he's totally hiding that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's tall and he's kind of skinny, you know, so you kind of see that.
Yeah.
But, in you know, with Vaughn, he's got the muscles. You know, with Jason, he's got the muscles. Both of those fuckers work out.
We had no clue about Doug.
That was a shocker.
It was a very pleasant surprise, but I was just like,
shock.
I was just like, you know, he's the, like, honestly, like, that shot him up past the other two in the looks department, because he's got the other two, and their bodies are hairy. Like, too muscular. Yeah, like, he's like perfect tall muscular, where it's not like, oh, I work out. It's more like, I'm healthy.
Yes. Yes. Because the other two have bulbous, very big muscles, yeah. Like, because they do the weightlift and stuff. He is trim.
He had normal muscles.
Doug himself is trim enough, but tight enough that we know that he kind of works out, but he's not. Yeah. He doesn't over-exaggerate that.
No, just normal amount. I was like, okay.
Doug's bringing
it. We got to go to Jason and Courtney real quick because I can't handle it. So Jason and Courtney. He looks real good in
them swim trunks.
Because we're going to get there. Oh, I don't think I didn't get there. Jason and Courtney hate the cold, but they're happy to be there. They basically get in a limousine, sleep in the limousine and all the way up.
Yeah. And then they get there. They enjoy a little champagne on the way.
That was so cute. I'm not this. I said I'm not sure if they had sex. Now I know. But she talks about the pressure of the rose petals and the tub in the middle of the room. And like, it's obvious, like, there's just like, there's a little, you know.
I mean, that's what you get when you go to a honeymoon suite.
It's a little pressure. So they go get a couple's massage, which they enjoy thoroughly. They have a great time.
I mean, I would probably have a better time with just myself getting a massage. But hey, I would take a couple of massages too.
No, thank you. Anybody pays for a couple of massages for me, I'm going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If it's paid for, yeah, Maisie. Sure.
Maisie could use a massage. She's having a hard time with this matchmaking business, guys. It's just too much for her. Okay.
Poor Maisie.
This is where, ladies and gentlemen, I realize Jamie is insane. Because Doug is walking on the beach, and he has the V.
Yeah.
You all know what I'm talking about. The V.
The V.
Where his hips are pointing right to his thing. The V. And he's walking down the beach. You got to watch it. Episode 3. Go to episode 3. If you watch nothing else, watch episode 3 of this first season to see Doug. Because it's just, I can't explain to you how perfect this body is. This is like a swimmer's body.
I mean, it is just...
Yeah, and it's not even like you would think that this is a sexual thing for me. It's just like...
It's appreciation.
It's a big appreciation. It's like swimmer's body, Michael Phelps, not too bulky, not too thin, not too anything. I'm just like, why is this man not in a painting class?
He probably does that. We just don't know.
I need to know. I just...
Doug, hit us up.
I'm in shock.
So many things pod. So many things podcast. Let us know.
Oh, and he has stubble? And I'm just like...
The stubble kind of makes him a little bit. And then there are clips of him throughout this episode where he's tan because of the honeymoon. Oh, dude.
I'm just like, Doug! I'm shocked. Okay. But then he gets stung by a jellyfish.
And he jokes that Jamie might have to pee on it. It's like, that's not what you do. That is a myth.
No, but she seems to think it's funny because she also is a nurse.
And she doesn't know how to...
She found it very disconcerting. She had no idea what to do. And so she's like,
I know.
I will pee on your foot because I don't know what else to do. But they didn't do that.
No, they didn't do that. No, I think she would pee on his foot because she doesn't like him yet.
Well, and here's my theory. She's a nurse. And if peeing on his foot would fix it, I think she'd do it. She's or did she just say she would do it because she's trying to be nice? It's kind of a weird thing.
I don't think she was trying to be nice. I think that was going to be, I think that was kind of a power trip for a second.
True.
Think about dogs peeing on things, right? And, and that's kind of what I got out of that. At the same time, she's a registered nurse.
I totally got a different vibe.
She's a registered nurse that doesn't know what to do for a jellyfish sting.
And if someone tells you as a nurse, hey, if you pee on the foot, it's going to fix it. I think as a nurse, you probably would. You'd be like, okay, I'll fix it.
I don't know. And the only thing that I can think of is maybe it's because she's just a nurse in maybe New York. I don't know where she's from. I don't think they went into detail about that.
They never really go into it, except she grew up in a trailer park.
Exactly. So I'm assuming she's a registered nurse somewhere in the New York area, and they might not have jellyfish, and they might not have to do with that. So maybe, she doesn't know.
Yeah. But, and she's like, will that fix it? I'll do it. Yeah. Nurses are brave.
Nurses are brave. That is truth.
But anyway, I thought it was funny that she was willing to pee on his foot and not hold his hand, but you know, cool. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying too. Like,
yeah.
And how would you pee on his foot? Would you pee in a cup first or would you just do it right then and there?
I'd pee in a cup first.
I think Jamie would too.
Yeah. All right. So we go to Monet and Vaughn, who are going paddle boarding. Vaughn has been to Puerto Rico before. Mm. And it seems like he has all these activities planned.
Because he's been like 3 times before, so he can show her around.
Right. But these activities seem very selfish and very separate. Because she even says, like, she wanted to do something together. And paddleboarding, you're on your own paddleboards.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of going. She says the physical part was easy and the getting to know each other part is hard. Huh?
Getting to know each other requires opening up your mouth and talking for hours.
Yeah. So it's really funny because for our other two couples, that is easier.
Yes.
So, I mean, for Jamie and Doug, it's taking a while, but you can tell, I mean, walking on the fucking beach with the freaking Adonis of fucking software development or whatever he's in.
I'm sorry. He's just like, God at this point, isn't he?
How is she not looking at him?
I don't know.
I'm just confused. Like, ma'am, I know you said you weren't physically attracted to him. Ma'am, you married a swimming god. I don't know how to tell you this.
And that could be what he does to stay in shape. He might go swimming.
Something. It's got to be something.
Got
it. That's the thing. It's really funny because it's not like I'm like, oh my gosh, Doug. It's more like, holy shit, how did it get so freaking ripped? But not too ripped. I'm like, what? How?
It's the perfect amount. It's the perfect amount. And the fact that she's just not seeing it. I'm sorry. She's walking down this beach with him. She's not holding his hand. She's not doing anything.
Not looking at him.
I'm sorry. The moment that I would see Doug take off his shirt, I would, what?
I would be like, huh?
Where was this at the wedding?
Sir.
Huh?
This does not match the white shoes. What's happening here? I don't understand.
Exactly.
Sir? Very confusing. Anyway, we've got to move on to Courtney and Jason, who are sitting by the fire, getting to know each other. And it seems like he starts talking about how crazy his life is. And she says she would like to help him relax and have fun because his job is so stressful. And it is. Oh, gosh, EMTs.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you. Jamie and Doug, we're back to them. They have agreed to not call it a honeymoon, which I think is smart. It takes the pressure off.
It does.
Basically, it's a vacation where they're going to get to know each other. And she has started to stop. Which I don't know how to say that. She has stopped tensing up around him. Her body language is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, because you saw him without a shirt.
Yeah, she saw him without the shirt.
I see you, Jamie. Mm-hmm. I see you. You guys, listen here. I had to use physical paper.
Yeah.
Because this stuff literally bounces around so much. If I tried to do it on a computer, I would get lost. It just didn't work. Do you not care about your wedding cake size? Do you shudder to think what a wedding would cost? Well, you should apply for Married at First Sight. With Married at First Sight, we have a supply of experts who will pretend to look at all your credentials, but really all they're looking at is if your families are similar or completely different. So apply for Married at First Sight to roll the dice with science. For podcast land, I put science in quotation marks. You'd know that if you followed us on Instagram. I'm literally talking to you guys and Dana's not here. This is just like me talking to myself on the last episode. Like, literally, I'm sitting here talking to myself. We cut back to Courtney and Jason in a bathtub in their swimsuits.
Well, they ain't gonna get naked just yet.
Yes. It was really funny. I was like, what? And then I was like, wait a minute, cameraman.
That's true.
So Courtney and Jason have loads of chemistry. But she seems to be worried about being selfish.
I mean,
I can see this happening.
Yeah.
I'm literally waiting for this to happen.
It will. Soon enough, it will.
They keep mentioning it so often, I'm just like, all right.
True.
I get the point. So as we said, Vaughn has been to... Sorry, I know this cuts around so much. I just got to follow where the episode goes because it's just like this. So Vaughn has been to Puerto Rico several times, as we said. And I just can't get over the selfish activities. I think I already said this. It's just they're on a boat, a catamaran. I don't know if any of you have been on a catamaran. Basically, it's a boat with two little jet things out and it has a net in the middle.
Oh,
I've been on one. They are so fun. I enjoyed it immensely, but he's getting down on the netting, and you can just tell Monet is not this kind of person. She doesn't want to be on the netting. She doesn't want to lay down on the netting like him. She doesn't even want to be on the boat, I'm convinced.
It's settling in what's going on, and she almost doesn't want to give herself up.
No.
No.
She starts closing off.
She does.
But we go back to Jamie and Doug, who go to the best place I've ever seen called Coral World to go play with the sea lions.
Oh my God, that sounds like something I would do too.
So great. She says she's enjoying his touch more and feeling more comfortable. So they're like playing with the sea lions and they do this cute thing where the sea lion is kissing her on one cheek and
Doug? Don't.
Did you see it just fly out of my brain?
Dude, you forgot Doug's name.
I was going to call him Jamie.
No.
I was like, no.
He's not Jamie. He's Doug.
It's the V. I'm sorry. It's the V. I can see him. So anyway, the sea lion is kissing her on one cheek. Doug is kissing her on the other cheek and she's smiling and she likes it. And you can tell, like, he'll touch her and she's like, okay with it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay.
Because she saw him without the shirt. There's the attractiveness.
That's since the shirt thing, people. Then Courtney and Jason finally decide to go do something. And it's horseback riding. I have a problem.
Really? With horseback riding?
Not with horseback riding. The fact that Jason obviously does not want to go.
But he did it for her.
And only for her.
Because he's never been horseback riding.
Terrified.
Yeah.
The only thing that saved this for me is he said next time they got to do something he wants to do. But then they never do.
Well, they might have. They just might not have shown us.
That could be it.
It would be nice to see things explored and done on both sides. For all couples.
Yep. Because this is where I'm at. Are they deliberately making her look more selfish than she is?
They could be. It's a fucking TV show.
Yep. I feel some manipulation.
I mean, look at Vaughn and Monet. They did everything pretty much what Vaughn wanted to do. What did Monet want to do?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So this is... Then we cut back to Jamie and Doug and they're snuggling in bed. And I'm like, okay. It's happening.
She's getting more comfy. Sex ain't gonna happen just yet.
No. Just cuddles.
Just cuddles. Little snuggle, maybe a kiss here and there.
So this is when I realized they were probably counting the days the whole time. Because then it says day six. And I'm like, oh, well, it's too late now. So we're on day six of the honeymoon.
I don't think they were counting days the entire time.
Oh, well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Because I was like, day six? What? So we're on day six, everyone, which is the last day. We are with Vaughn and Monet. And they just seem both very independent of each other. They're walking down the street, going shopping, and there's just no emotion between them. And Vaughn brings it up to her. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't want to hold hands.
And I think that's because when he brought it up, it's because he's feeling like she's put up a wall.
I also am kind of on the flip side because he says he doesn't feel she's being as attentive enough and he doesn't feel comfortable with her. I'm calling it. He's a narcissist.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Gaslighting the hell out of her because she thinks everything's fine. And she doesn't understand why he doesn't want to hold hands.
Because he's being passive aggressive. He's not getting the attention that he thought that he needed.
You're not giving me enough attention.
Well, okay. So he brings up the fact that maybe they were on like a tram to get to the next station. And like, it's just been dead silent. There's like no conversation whatsoever. But like when she's in a shop, she can talk for fucking hours about everything else.
He did say that.
He did say that.
There's blame to be put around.
There is.
I don't like him.
I don't either. I get that narcissistic vibe from him too.
Well, and then Monet does make a good point that he's expecting too much for 6 days in.
Yes, he is.
It's literally been 6 days.
He's expecting what you would get from a marriage that's like 5 years in.
Yeah.
You guys met 6 days ago. Maybe it's because they consummated the marriage the first night.
Here's my thing. I am not a prude saying don't have sex on the first date. I'm saying it changes things.
It does change things.
It changes things for people who wait because you can get to know each other and then have sex and it becomes a component of the whole thing.
Right.
If you have sex first, that's the main component. Mm-hmm. That's it. The line has been drawn. There's no going back from that.
There isn't. It actually says in the snippets later, Monet says they can have an argument and then still go back for sex. Mm-hmm. Like, at that point, that relationship is based off of nothing but sex. And it's got to be good. It's got to be good. It better be good. Oh, my God.
I mean, hell. I mean, if they're having
in order to much, deal with that,
hate each other, I'm just confused. After that, we find out that Courtney and Jason did consummate their marriage, like, on day five, six-ish.
Day five.
Okay. Because we cut to romantic dinner.
Oh, yes. The big romantic dinner.
Last night, romantic dinner, dark corner kind of vibes. So, Jamie wants to not call it a romantic dinner.
She is not in this.
No, but she's a little tipsy. Mm-hmm. Not super tipsy, just like a little enough to be like relaxed. And he is smiling like a goddamn idiot and he wants to kiss her so bad. Mm-hmm. And she knows it. Mm-hmm. And you can tell she wants to be kissed so bad. And they freaking kiss at the table and it's the cutest moment ever. It's just like a cute, quick little kiss on the lips and they both enjoy it. And and she's the one who says, you all should clap. It's our first kiss. And I'm just like, she's in.
Yep.
She's good. She's here, everyone. We're good. We're good, everyone. It's fine. It took 6 days. I'm not mad about it. It was a slow burn and I could not stop smiling. I love that it happened this way for her because I think she needed it to. I personally think no matter who she walked down to that aisle to, I think it would have been the same thing. Even if he was super hot.
I don't know. I think if he was super hot and I think she would have been a little bit more comfortable with him to begin with.
Maybe, but I just think she would have been in shock no matter what. and still, like, we're not having sex and all that stuff.
I agree to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Because I think if the guy was any hotter, that initial attraction would be there and she'd be excited for it. But then there would be a lot more drama to ensue because it wouldn't be a perfect match.
Yeah, I get it. Because I think, yeah, she needed to move slow, and him not being like her ideal man or whatever. I don't understand.
She's the one perfectly good looking. I'm so confused. Put her foot in her mouth when she said personality outweighs attractiveness. Just saying.
Anyway. They kissed, guys. We're good. It's okay. They kissed. We're moving.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. I got water. Ding.
Ding.
Did you notice when Vaughn and Monet go to dinner, it almost looks like he's dragging her?
She doesn't want to be there.
He's holding her hand and, like, pulling her. Like, she's going. She's not upset or anything. It's just like, can you calm down, dude? Like, really?
He wants a fast track. He wants, he's already comfortable with everything. And yeah. Monet's still adjusting.
Yeah, definitely. And they're definitely flirting at dinner and having chemistry, but you can just sit there and tell something's off.
Something is off.
So, Courtney and Jason were pretty boring during the dinner. I mean, they were kissing and stuff, but they're talking about going back home to their schedules. And you can tell Jason's a little worried about each other being them to handle each other. They're very busy people, both of them. And so I think they're a little worried about how their schedules will collide.
Understandable.
I'm going to be real. The best time in my marriage at all was when my husband and I had the different schedules and hardly saw each other. I'm like, this is the best. Like, this is the best our marriage has ever been. Because when we were together, we were together. Mm-hmm. And then we could go do our separate lives and be, he didn't think so. I thought it was fantastic for our marriage, but he didn't think him. So. I know. Fuck you. Yeah. I thought it was great. Anyway. Much like Monet, I thought everything was fine. And we all know where that ended. Anyway. So they're back in the bedroom, Jamie and Doug. And Doug's in the kitchen being silly, in the bathroom being silly, like doing a little dance and stuff. And she has the camcorder and she says, she admits to the camera, she can't believe she kissed him and that he doesn't know. She's like, he doesn't know I like him. And she says, I'm going to keep it a secret for now. Can we just end here? Everything's happy.
Yeah.
Everything's nice. I'm good. Thank you. And then they show us the trailer stuff for the next one. I'm like, shit.
Editors. For this fucking series. Fuck off. We hate you. Hate you.
You're horrible.
You've given us too much too fast. No.
Why couldn't they let us end on the warm fuzzies?
Seriously.
I was so happy at the end of that. And then they're like, no. Try again.
It's like, we gotta give you more drama just to make sure you come back. It's like, no.
We'll be back.
We will be back.
Not because of you.
We will be back because we want to see what happens between Doug and Jamie.
Yep, we gotta know. Stupid editors.
Fucking editors.
Yeah, fucking editors.
That's it for this episode, guys. Stay tuned next week. We're gonna figure out what change for the better means.
Yeah, we have no idea what these changes are, but we would love to take this opportunity to thank Hulu for making this weird episode about changing. The cast of Married at First Sight, and of course you for listening.
There are so many things you can do to support us. We have Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube, where you get to see all kinds of snippets from this podcast.
If you have time, please head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating or a review, or both. Remember, any 5-star rating will be read on the podcast in the special listeners episode, no matter what you say.
In any case, we appreciate you being here, listening to our tangents, and being a part of So Many Things podcast.
Until next time, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of So Many Things. You can find us on all the socials at So Many Things Pod or So Many Things Podcast. You know what to do. See you later. that's it for this episode, everyone. Stay tuned next week as we'll be traveling. No. That's it for this episode, guys. Wow. What is wrong with me?
20.